And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And now, of course, every second Monday and Tuesday from 3 to 4, it is Understanding Autism, a show that is so valuable to help people, and people need help. We love to help people. Kimberly Isaac, Paul Alden, thank you for being you, because you make a difference in people's lives.
Thank you, and thank you for being you.
Oh, well, thank you. Not everyone will say that, but I'll take it today, today right on Breakthrough Thinking. No, people do say that sometimes.
People say what?
They thank me for being me.
Well, no, I am being honest.
I know.
Wasn't being
joking.
Oh,
give me some knuckles.
I wasn't playing.
No, how much do I owe you on that? Okay, so Paul Alden, how are you? I saw you yesterday, and it's the weather's pretty good still.
It's nice here.
I want to go to Houston to have Rudy's.
Guess what? You don't have to go all the way to Houston.
I love
Rudy.
That
I feel like I'm
no, I really
commercial.
Do love that place. You too, Paul?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is the best ribs out here. And probably, well, I don't know, in Texas. But
we consider it okay.
Yeah, so you must have really good ribs. I got to go to Texas.
Yeah, you
when
should
do I
come.
Go?
Well,
May. I'm going to May.
Sure. Oh.
All right, I'll go sometime.
You're funny.
I always wanted to go to Dallas. Anyway, we had a great show yesterday.
Yeah, we had someone from Double Fine Games.
Drew Skillman. Yeah. Great guy, by the way.
I keep wanting to call him Greg because Greg was the first person I talked with at Double
gotcha.
Fine.
Yeah.
So I was like, I know his name is... So we had Drew Skillman, who was the project lead on a game called Happy Action Theater, which became a game called Connect Party. And we talked with him a little bit about how he developed this game and the ideas that went into it, because what we're talking about today is the idea of play, just simple play for the sake of play, having fun for the sake of having fun without, you know, specific other motives behind it. And we wanted to talk about this game that he made because it sort of typifies that in a video game way that hasn't really been seen elsewhere. So let's sort of, I guess, start with talking about play itself and, you know, and what we think about play. What I think about play is I think of it, you know, as something where you are just having fun for the sake of having fun. That, you know, there are a lot of things that you can do that are fun. You may pick... You know, you may pick where you go shopping based on which one's more fun to shop at, but that isn't play. You may be playful while you're doing it, and you may play while you're there, but plays are the acts where the whole reason for that act is that it is a fun act, at least from my perspective, that it is not being done for any other reason than, oh, it would be fun to do this.
So, go ahead, Kim.
Well, I have some thoughts, but actually, I was going to ask you.
Yes, how
NLP
do I play?
Coach. No, No. I was going to say, to kind of put you on the spot a little and say, What comes to mind when you think of the word play?
Well, the first thing, honestly, you won't believe this, but an actual play, a theater.
Really? I'm interested in this. This is good. Okay.
I don't know. I just because I, you know, have an entertainment show
and
I do review at times entertainment stuff, you know, plays and musicals and so on. Now, but I know what you mean. But play.
So yeah, as far as what we're talking about,
exactly.
what comes to your mind in that sense?
What comes to mind is goofing around, just sort of just being playful. The act of being playful, random. Playfulness. I was, of course, we had a birthday party, right, on Saturday for my granddaughter, your niece, Jazzy, who turned, guess who? How old?
5.
Okay, good.
Did I need to remind you?
Just checking if she knew.
Just kidding.
And reminding me. No, 5 years old. But you saw the little kids play for the sake of play in this big...
There was a big jumpy.
The jumpy. Ever see a jumpy, Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they really just have a lot of fun. It is probably like that game we talked about yesterday. There's nothing... you know, they all do what they want to do.
Well, yeah. It's somewhere. A big structure,
it's
basically.
Spontaneous.
Yeah.
And, there's no rules except for, you know,
There are no rules other than the rules that you create for it. And they're flexible. They're fluid.
Exactly. And then... And then also, the next day, I took my grandson, who you know is 2.5, will be 3 in August, Mason. I went to the park with Greg, and we just played. And really,
what did you do for play?
Well, he was hitting the ball, baseball, with a bat, and he would be on the swings and a little bit of football. And that was just play. And when you see little kids that age, that young, play, they just they're not thinking of anything else. They seem undistracted.
Well, they're in the moment, for sure.
Present moment, and they just enjoy the moment.
The actions of the moment.
And so that was another thing I considered play. So anything, let's see, I was almost going to say anything not work-related would be play, and I'm not sure that's true or not. Let's break that down.
Well, I have some thoughts.
Yeah, let me hear that, because I'm not sure.
I have a feeling Paul will disagree with your definition, but no.
It could be.
But it's not your definition. We're just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I think of actually a lot of things. I think of, there's kind of a realm. There's physical play. Mm. You know, I think of imaginative play, you know, kind of social play or connecting play. Like, I think of, I guess, in my field, too, for parents and kids, I think of that first relationship with, you know, the parent and the child. You know how you do, like, peekaboos and things like that?
Yeah, right.
Those are really designed, you know, innately for humans to form bonds and connect. So it's kind of interesting how sometimes people think, oh, peekaboo's silly or whatever, but it's actually very significant play, and it's important for the child and the parent to bond through play. So, I mean, I'm just thinking of a lot of different things. But like Paul was saying, I mean, I definitely, if I were to kind of, you know, so what is play? I mean, I think it's something you engage in voluntarily, you know, that's going to be, or that ends up being or evolves into being enjoyable and pleasurable. And, I mean, obviously when it's not fun anymore, why, I mean, it's, I think it's like there's a freedom element to it. It's just to engage, to be free and have fun and whatever else ends up, you know, coming from it.
You know, it's interesting because it's bringing back some interesting memories that I'll share right now, is that when I was younger, you know, let's say 8, 9, 10, the neighborhood kids would, the standard line would be, they knock on your door and they go, can you come out and play? That's sort of interesting. So at that age, it's structured around,
so
your life is structured
though?
Around play.
What did it mean?
Well, it could mean hide and go seek. It could mean wasn't kick the can. That was that'd make me
way
really
before
old.
Before your time.
But the Twilight Zone, my favorite show, kick
favorite
the
episode.
Can. But
baseball
mean,
and the lot across the street.
Yeah, exactly.
Or just riding your bikes around and
totally
seeing what
agree.
You find.
Yeah.
I mean,
but you understood that framework. So if they were to come knock on your door, you knew when they said play, it meant something like that.
Yeah, I totally knew, because
it wasn't,
there'd be
like,
some activity generally to run around.
A lot of times it'd be a group collaboration. You'd get together and either they'd have an idea or you'd have an idea, or, you know, as a group you'd come up with things to do. So it was very much an expression of I want to say mental freedom. It was just a, let's go do something that's fun and we'll figure out what that means as we go.
So is this age related, you think? Because you know, at that age, can you come out and play might mean something. Now, when you get older, maybe it means,
well, I don't think we use
else.
The word play as much. I think it's almost like thought of a little bit negatively, like, what, so we're, you know, out of diapers now, we're not supposed to play type thing. But really, I think adults definitely do play. We just don't always
don't
call
talk
it
about
that.
It as play.
Or we don't ask one another to go play. I might, you know, invite someone to do something that, like, I might, you know, if I go to the park maybe with Coda and Rick, I'll be like, hey, let's bring a ball. You know, let's shoot hoops while we're there.
Well,
I mean,
and our tastes change as our ages change. I mean, play might be a girls' night in where you watch movies and, you know, have a bowl of ice cream. That it's
good idea.
It's you know, with your girlfriends. It's what you find enjoyable, and you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be imaginative, though.
Right.
Imaginative play is sort of, I don't want to say the best kind, but it's sort of one of the kinds that stretches you out more.
Mm-hmm. I think so. I definitely think so.
So is there a difference between being playful and play?
I think I would say that being playful is the attitude of seeking play.
Oh, okay, good.
So
I like
engaging
that.
It, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I would say that.
I mean, we have a lot of ways that we play in small amounts just in day-to-day life, you know, banter between two people, things like that, where we spontaneously, you know, you make a comment to someone and it's an invitation to have a little bit of play right there, that it happens all the time. And I think that's part of what we should think about more is engaging in more play in our lives a lot of the time, that a lot of us don't really look for opportunities to sort of exchange with other people.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, well, no, I was just going to say, I feel like that's the focus of what I wanted to talk about today on the show is that concept. So it's like, okay, we're talking about play. You know, our show is an autism related show. You know, how is this all kind of, you know, intertwining? And I think, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts, but one thought that kind of piggybacks off that is that sometimes people don't value play as something that's really significantly important to development, to mental health, to physical health, confidence. You know, it's actually related to a lot of things. And sometimes, I guess with or without autism, but sometimes, you know, people are so focused on they have to learn this and they have to do this. And they, you know, we don't have time for this or we don't have time for that. And they leave out some of the things that are more play-like without even realizing the significant benefits that play
and
has.
Someone, well, and I'll be honest, some people, especially on the spectrum, don't really know how to play. They don't have a concept of what play is. And the problem with not really understanding or knowing how to play is that when you get older and someone jokes around with you, tries to banter with you, and otherwise, you won't recognize these as opportunities for play. You may take them more as criticism because you don't have this concept of play between people.
Yeah, so it could be interpersonal.
And that's one of those things that that game represents, is that you can't really teach someone to play. Like, you can't just say, this is what play is, this is how we do it, now let's do it. You have to sort of provide them opportunities to play. And
good
this
point.
Game creates a framework where it provides an opportunity to play without necessarily saying, this is an opportunity to play, and without necessarily it sort of fills in some of the gaps or can. It's like I was telling Kim earlier, it's like having a dress-up box. And you bring the dress-up box out, and you say, you know, your kid goes into it, and he finds a fireman's hat, and he plays being a fireman because he's got a fireman's hat, or things like that. This game is like the digital equivalent of a dress-up box. It's the reason we focused on it yesterday and brought it on is that it's showing how modern technology is offering some modern versions of the toys that we've always had around that people can use in their homes to help with these sort of activities.
And that game particularly, I mean, again, the idea behind having Drew on yesterday and talking about that game was it was such a great framework for people on the spectrum to play, where they can be successful in the sense that there's a structure to it, but it's not a rule structure. It's
and
freedom.
And creative, too.
And you can be creative and imaginative, and it didn't matter, you know, what your abilities are. It's just it's like a space to do, to just be and try and explore and watch and, you know, just to play, basically. But there's a lot more learning involved. Not that, I mean, we're talking about play is fun and everything, and it is. But in terms of autism, I think people don't realize, though, the significance of the need for it, for someone to build self-awareness, to build confidence, to learn. I mean, it is kind of an integral part of socialization, too. I mean, maybe not on this, like we said, we're not doing these, you know, play breaks. You know, like when we're in school, we get recess and we get all this stuff. You know, as adults, we don't really do it that way, although I think we should, and we should also add in nap time, I think. But
really, nap time?
But for some reason.
Recess.
Oh, we can call it siesta.
Siesta.
Yeah, that sounds better.
See, Europeans have it right.
Yeah, they do. I think they shut down everything in
they
the middle
do.
Of afternoon.
It's so much healthier. Yeah,
it is interesting. And before we take a break, I do want to mention one thing and get your insights on this, and then we'll go back to how it relates to autism. But it could be context related, the word play. And what came to mind is at the start of, let's say, any major baseball game, a professional game, or any little league too, is when they say play ball, how do the players think of that? Now, if you're a professional, would you think it's play or is it work?
Well, I think with things like that, with baseball and with plays, as you mentioned earlier, I think the reason that we call them that is because they probably all started as play. I think, you know, baseball started with someone who had a ball and threw it at someone who had a stick. And, you know, plays were probably started with people acting because they were enjoying showing stories, you know, from the history, that it was something that they enjoyed doing, you know, the passing on of tales, and then it turned into this. So I think it's definitely work now. If you're getting paid for it, if you're doing it,
but
even if you
still
love it.
Enjoy it. But yeah,
but
it may
I don't
be
think
the
it's,
sole purpose.
I don't think it's play.
Yeah.
You know, you may be
formal play.
And I think that, you know, even like a board game, I don't think that's play. If you're playing something, then you are having yourself restricted within rules, and it's more of it's much more of a guided, specific experience. I don't know if it's the same as with a lot of video games, that it's more of something limited and constrained that doesn't really give you the opportunity to play in the same way.
Well, let's take a quick break right now, and when we come back, I'm going to pose the question right now, and Paul can and Kim can contemplate this. When does play become work, and work become play? This is Understanding Autism. We'll be right back.
Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and this is Understanding Autism every second Monday and Tuesday from 3 to 4, starring Kimberly Isaac and Paul Alden, all the way from Houston, Texas. There was a song, something about Houston with Johnny Cash, remember?
No.
Oh. Tommy, what was that song? Oh, I thought it was something that Johnny Cash and June Carter sang. Oh, Hot Pepper or something, remember? He knows. He's
Are you trying to be playful?
Yes.
Dave, that's Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Jackson, not Houston. Okay, never mind. Now, before we went on the break, I asked the question, when does play become work and work become play? Kimberly, you're up first.
I'm deflecting to Paul,
actually. Okay, Paul.
Well, I think we go back for me to that idea I had at the beginning that it's play as long as you're doing it because it's fun. Mm. So for a professional baseball player, there are some people who would be giving it their all playing in the neighborhood baseball team if there were no pro teams, that they would be playing at their best as hard as they could, even if they weren't getting paid for it. They may not spend as much time training because, you know, they'd be doing another job and that would take up a lot of their time, but they'd be spending their all spare time on it. And for those people, the people where they're there because they want to be there and the money is an added bonus, I think that's play. And then there are people who are like, I'm good at this. It's a way I can make a lot of money, or I can make some money, or I can make a living. You know, I don't want to cast disparities on, you know, why they're doing it necessarily, other than it's a living. That some of those people, they're there because it's a living that they're good at, and it's not play for them, it's work for them. So I think it all boils down to your motivation and how you personally see it, whether it's play or not. That if for you, it's something that you're doing because you're fun, you're doing it because it's completely voluntary, you're not doing it for outside reasons, then it's play. And I think that you know, that's about all there is to it, is just the motivation internally for why you're doing what you're doing.
So, and something that's fun to one person, yeah, you know, obviously may not be fun to another. So even though you might see someone engaged in something that you're like, oh, they're playing, well, that may not be true for both parties. It may look true on the outside, but I agree. I think that for play, play versus work, I think would be more of a mindset, an attitude, an internal thing. How you're deciding or how you're feeling and thinking about what you're doing in the moment. Something can go from work to play very quickly, too.
Well, and I think,
and back and forth,
it very much is sort of the motivation, the activity, whether the activity is play or not. For example, let's take a game of basketball, a one-on-one game of basketball. And one person is playing because he loves basketball, and he doesn't care whether he wins or losing. The other person is playing because he's very competitive, and he wants to win. For him, it's not play, because the basketball itself is not play. The winning and losing may be play, because he enjoys that thrill of being in a competition. But the basketball is his means toward that goal. So I think that, you know, play, you see a lot of, he's playing basketball for fun, but the fun is a specific goal of winning, rather than the activity of playing basketball.
Like, some people enjoy the challenge element of the play, or the creativity element of the play. I mean, there's just so much to it. But something that comes to mind as we're talking about this, like, I'm thinking about listeners out there who maybe they're like a parent who has a child and they're like, we've tried playing so many times and my child just doesn't want to. Mm. And when I see that in my mind, I think, meaning their child's not responding, maybe the way like a typical child would. And I don't even mean younger. I mean really of any age. And so we were talking about, you know, a person on the spectrum really understanding what they're getting involved with. So I have an example. I have this family I was working with, a father and a son. The father really wanted to play ball with his son. He really did, just catch and throw. And the son, you know, the dad would take out a ball and this kid would run away. You know, and this poor dad, he's just heartbroken. Like, I just want to play ball with my son. I don't even care if he goes to college. I just want to enjoy this thing called play with him. So the dad couldn't understand, well, this is so easy. This is so fun. I mean, he can do it. What's the big deal here? You know, so what ended up happening is the boy was afraid of the ball. So the dad was taking it very personally, for one, which it really wasn't personal. We discovered that later. But he was afraid of the ball, so the dad just starts throwing at the kid, and he's thinking his dad's, like, throwing stuff at him, you know? Whoa. So it got to the point where I was like, you know, for the relational and mental health of this father and son, like, I really want to help this dad learn to play with his son. So so basically, I decided I was going to just sit with this boy and just show him different balls, because if he saw it taken out, he'd bolt. And I just prefaced it for him. I said, you know what, we're just going to look at them. We're not going to do anything with them. Just kind of get comfortable with them. And so so we started from there, and then I just let him hold it and feel it. And just so actually what ended up happening, sorry, long story short, is I ended up creating a play situation for the two of us where maybe it wasn't throwing the ball back and forth, but it was exploring the different balls. So, like, I'd give him one, he'd feel it, and he'd kind of throw it himself and experiment with him. He started laughing about it later. So, again, so, you know, I think when it comes to people on the spectrum, I think it's important for people to realize that, first of all, play is very, very, very important. It is, for so many reasons. Relational, again, the confidence issues, when you can actually, you know, I guess I don't want to say keep up with someone, but be able to participate with another person on something and derive enjoyment from it. I mean, that's very beneficial for motivation and all sorts of things. So it's important to not give up on play. So if you have someone in your life who has autism and doesn't seem to be interested in play, not to take it, not to assume that that's, you know, that's a final answer. It could be so many things, and it's definitely something worth investigating and pursuing. You know, play, it's very important to development. So you're thinking of, like, the younger kids. It teaches them how to move their body, use their minds, you know, explore. And as Paul says, like, the imaginative stretches their, you know, their mind, and then they learn things about the world that way. They learn things about themselves, and they use that stuff for other things in life. So, you know, on the other side, I've met parents that are like, well, why would we want to put so much playtime in his day? He needs to learn this, this, and this. It's like, well, yeah, learning, but learning does happen in play, by the way, but it's important to look beyond some of that concrete stuff and think of the bigger picture and the freedom and creating opportunities to play within the structure of play.
Well, and at the base root of almost everything, play is how we learn. I mean, you say, well, okay, I always go home this way, but what happens if I turn left here, you know, instead
like
of right?
Curiosity and the,
it's the curiosity.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, learning to play and be playful with the world is something that will help you with everything else along the way in one way or another, that it gives you the confidence to experiment and try different things and just recognize that it's not just a series of steps.
And that's how we start out, like, developmentally. Like, again, thinking back to, I mean, we don't teach, babies don't come out, we don't start, you know, giving them all these rules and regulations and stuff like that. We engage with them playfully because that's how relationships develop, trust, you know, and understanding. And so when play doesn't happen, autism or no autism, that causes a problem for the infant involved, because they don't form the same bonds and understandings and motivations that a baby who was interacted with and played with might.
Let me ask you this then. Can someone on the spectrum be playing but not look like they are playing? And how important is that for parents to realize their what they think is play may be different? But it nevertheless still play for someone on the spectrum. How does
right,
that work?
Not to disregard it just because it's not their personal form of play.
Have you seen that, or is that something?
Oh, yes.
Well,
and again, I think it's all a mindset thing, and it's all a balance thing. And I don't know, you might be better to comment on this.
Not really.
Oh, no? I thought you had a thought. I was observing you. Well, no, I mean, I'm thinking like, well, if we think back to what we're saying play is, so something that someone's engaging in, they are having fun with, may seem unproductive to us. And a lot of times that's the thing that I see parents seeing is, you know, maybe what's fun for one person is, you know, lining up objects, and they're laughing and they're like, hee, hee, hee. But if you try to take them away, they're going to scream and hit you and all that sort of thing. So the parent can't really, I guess, see past what they can identify as problems to see that that's something that their child's enjoying. And I've also seen it with like electronic related things. Oh, my kids spend way too much time on the computer. Now, that may be true. I mean, again, balance is important. But I think it's about a mindset of how you have to really examine, you know, yourself and the person in question, because not everything that's play to one person will be to another person. Now, that doesn't mean to disregard it, and that doesn't mean that person may not need balance of other things, because I guess one of the biggest things I would hear is parents don't think the ratio is even of play, whatever it is, to, well, he should be doing this, this, and this instead of play. But I don't know if that answered
your question.
But
play also offers you an opportunity to engage with them.
Well, yeah.
Because it's an opening to build any sort of bridge that you can by figuring out why they enjoy this as a form of play and if there's a way to bridge that form of play into things that you can enjoy with them.
Right. And that's, I guess, the thing is that the mindset, it's if a parent kind of immediately shuts down to that idea, they're not taking the time maybe to see it through their child's eyes or, you know, put some of the pieces together, they could be missing out on some really great opportunities to connect and
Well, you mentioned teach. Mindset, and that's what I wrote that down, and you mentioned it. What's the mindset of play? Now, I'll give you an example. What I'm talking about is some people, and this has nothing to do with autism, I don't think, but there was a movie out, Cruel Intentions. It was, and then they had a sequel, and I think their mindset, Paul, did you see that movie?
I've seen that movie.
Yeah, and what
I
was
don't
it,
remember it well.
Yeah, what was interesting is that it looked like these, I guess they were college kids, actually, their form of play to them was had cruel intentions of creating not the best circumstances for other people. So is there a mindset of play? Should we define it as something that is not harmful to others? Because this movie, it was very harmful to others.
Yeah, that's bad.
But their idea was, you know, hey, this is fun
for us. Yeah.
But if it hurts someone, I'm not sure that's proper.
Right? I mean, it's not proper. We would never encourage any harm with play.
Well, there's definitely an issue of mindset behind play. You know, some people harm others because they don't understand they're harming others. Some people harm others because they don't value others. That the issue of harming others, I think, is outside the issue of play necessarily. That I think that if you don't have the respect for others that is, you know, necessary for, you know, living a good day-to-day life or whatever, then your ideas of play may include ones that are harmful to others. But I think that they're sort of separate things in so much as the idea of play is, you know, doing the things that you enjoy like that for the sake of enjoying them, and that, you know, what kind of things you choose as being the kind of play you want to pursue depends on what your values are in terms of other people.
Okay,
like that.
So nicely, I think, very nicely said.
So I think, it is very much an issue of negative play like that, but it depends on other values that are in place.
That totally makes sense. Wow, you are smart, Paul. That was... let's take a quick break right now, and maybe we'll explore that a little further. I think that might be the key answer to the mindset. Values, the values are inclusive of maybe uplifting, enhancing people's lives, and at least at a minimum neutral, maybe that might be the mindset of play as you have fun, and we'll be right back.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement offering compromise, or not currently collectible status. Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches. 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Houston, Houston means that I'm one day closer to you. Oh, honey, Houston, Houston means the last day.
And welcome back again to Breakthrough Thinking. This is Understanding Autism every second Monday and Tuesday from 3 to 4. Tommy, thank you. I remember that song.
Oh, that's a great song. You know, kudos to our own Ramon here in our office. He said Dean Martin sang a song called Houston, and I went to get that, and it said C. Gatlin Brothers as well, and there we had it.
Oh, wow.
That was the one I was thinking of.
That is good. Maybe we could sneak in... Jackson, too. So
yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
Now we're talking about play, and thank you, Tommy, very, very nicely then. I was going to throw this out, and then I know, Paul, you have some really interesting comments about inhibitions, but let me ask you this. How about food and play? Now you're looking at me, and I remember, I wasn't that young, food fights, and that was play.
Wait, what do you mean you weren't that young? Wait, did you just have a food fight before you came to the station?
No, I was... No, I mean,
look, he's back,
not that young, like 5 or 6 or 7, and more like 21. But no, I mean, a mini food fight or play with your food. But how about a hot dog eating contest? Is that play or is that serious? They look so serious up there in New York.
It depends, again, on your motivations. But I think that there is a large element of play that relates to food in general. That, for example, trying new foods is often a playful act.
Hey,
or changing a recipe, saying, well, this cake is really good with strawberry icing, but maybe I'll try it with blueberry icing instead and see how it turns out.
Or
there's a playful element. And I think play in a large part comes down to an idea of experimentation in a lot of cases, of trying something different. And I think that underlies, like you were saying, I was talking about inhibitions. So I think that a large element in most play is a lowering of some inhibitions, of doing something that you wouldn't ordinarily do, or, you know, you wouldn't do except in the sense of play. That it's letting go of some of the stuff that you hold on to every day in terms of the appearance you set forth and the attitude you set forth. That kids, when they're playing, are different than kids when they aren't playing. And people, when they're out on the town or whatever, they're different. They're almost different people than they are in their day-to-day lives. So I think play is letting go of something in a lot of cases.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we were talking off air about, you know, being in the moment. And, you know, I think for the families that I work with, we do this sort of like, let's evaluate our week and the balance of how we spend our time. And I think, you know, yeah, there's always obviously the mandatories, the work, the showering, you know, the laundries and things like that. But it's so important to put in a healthy balance of time, personal play time, family play time, you know, making time for that. And I was just actually thinking, as Paul was talking, that if someone was always thinking about what they had to do next in terms of their life or their to-do schedule, they really wouldn't be able to play successfully, I guess you could say, with other people. If their mind was always, you know, on something else? Like, how would that?
Well, it's also a case of, for example, always having to think about what you're doing right now, thinking about looking at people's faces and interpreting their emotional reactions and things like that. Or if you're playing their game, so then you have to understand, what do they want out of this game? What are we actually playing? So it can be very hard as someone on the spectrum to let go, because there are so many things that you have to hold on to just in normal interactions, that rather than play being an opportunity to let go, oftentimes you see play as an added stress on top of the normal stuff, because it's a social situation. Mm. But it's also a social situation where people are acting less predictably than normal. So it play for
can
someone on the spectrum can often be harder and more intimidating rather than an opportunity to relax.
Right. And some of the things Paul was mentioning about food is funny. Like, when I, you know, in different families that I've worked with, we've talked about really experiment and exploring as kind of a big overall umbrella for play in some of, you know, the work that I've done with families and transferred to them. Is some of it is like, let's bake some new dessert this weekend. Or, I wonder what would happen if we put chocolate chips in it. Let's taste it. You know, some simple things like that, you know, people may think are time wasters, but they're actually very valuable, and they can absolutely count as play. And those are important things to include in your family. And, you know, throughout the show, we use the word like child or student. I refer to that as any age. I'm not just thinking younger kids. You can do that with anybody of any age. If you're exploring together and trying new things together, you know, and as Paul is saying, it can be a little more scary because maybe it's less predictable, or, you know, what the case is. If you're slowing it down and being in the moment, it's going to be helpful.
How about this? Language patterns and the word play. And I'll mention three of them right now and see your reaction. Finish your homework and then you can go
play.
Don't play games. A play on words. Three different contexts, three different uses of the word play, but three different meanings. Who wants to take that one?
I'm not sure they are three different meanings.
So finish your homework and then go play. Mm-hmm. It depends on the context. Don't play games. Now, when I hear that, it depends how that was said to you.
Like, the tone of voice. Like,
exactly.
Don't play games with me.
But I see it as, don't play games with me.
Yeah.
But it suggests that someone isn't taking it entirely serious.
Mm, okay.
So it suggests,
manipulative, right?
Yeah, it suggests that they are playing when they shouldn't be. So it suggests the real form of play.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean that that's what you're doing, but that's what it's. So I think it's still the same context of you're playing when you shouldn't be, that we need to take this seriously. You need to take me seriously.
That's not bad. I like it. What do you think? It makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just interesting.
I think our concept of play, even there, is that there's two types. There's two parts of the world. There's the playful part of the world and the serious part of the world. And I think we keep them two separate most of the time.
I agree.
How about this?
Much.
Play your guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing?
Yeah. Dad, you're just obsessed with the word saying
no,
play.
No, I never was until the show. No, now I'm thinking
now every
of play.
Other word
play.
Is gonna be, I'm going to get like 52 text messages that I will be forwarding to you since this is your idea. No, I'm just kidding. He's going to be like, what about this one? No, I think it's just overall healthy. Like if we had a doctor in here and all these different professionals, I mean, that need for play in human health, just to give yourself that release and the opportunity to just be and explore.
Well, there was a great article in Spirit Magazine, the Southwest Airlines magazine that you read during takeoff and landing because you have to turn off your tablet.
I'll check it out tomorrow on my way to Denver.
Well, no, it was a few months back. It's kind of actually what inspired me to want to do this show with the game and everything. It was reading about the article was about the value of play, both for children and for adults, and free play, you know. So I don't know if it's still available on a website somewhere or what, but there are many talks out there about just the value of play for people of all ages, of letting yourself go and letting yourself be experimental and free with your mind.
And here's a playful thought.
Hmm.
Oh, playful thought. How do you, what's the word if you spell it backwards? Play.
Yelp.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I had to write it down. That was good for you, Paul.
Do another one. No,
that's only one I know. And I'm looking, see if there's something in the dictionary, and I can't quite find. The only thing Close is Yelp, Y-E.
You know, Yelp is the sound you make when you step on a Lego in the dark.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
The after effect of play.
Totally.
Yeah. Wow, see, we could be playful doing this show yeah. as we're doing it. So.
But I do want to say, though, I mean, getting back to a little serious note is...
Oh, we're playing.
For parents out there listening or whoever, if you're out there and you know someone who has autism, regardless of their age, you know, to sort of not to give up on the idea of play or thinking, you know, oh, this person's too old or, oh, you know, it's too late, they're not kids anymore or they don't like it or, you know, having excuses why maybe it wouldn't work, to really consider how valuable it could be to be able to connect with this person, you know, in your life and to explore and pursue ways to play.
Well, I think a big part of fitting in and being comfortable around people is being able to recognize and respond appropriately to playfulness.
And that's true. I mean, we could probably do a whole show on something sort of. I mean, I think too, as I'm thinking for adults, I think there's actually a lot we could probably talk about it. What adults with autism maybe are enjoying sort of collectively what it seems like is more of the, I mean, actually in society, more online type of play, actually. And so maybe that's something that you're a parent out there thinking, well, if I wanted to even ask my child to do something with me, they're having fun online. Like, why would they, you know, there's kind of all these new arenas and opportunities to play where you don't need someone face to face either, which is kind of interesting.
Well, how about this? Let me ask you. If parents, let's say in this context, had a more playful attitude at appropriate times, would that rub off on their kids?
I think it depends on how well their definitions of play overlap with their kids' definitions of play. Mm. Because I think if you're trying to force, if you have a playful attitude but your kid can't recognize it, then it's not necessarily wasted effort, but it's not going to have the kind of results that you'd have if you took the time to recognize what they consider playful and sort of build it outwards, work on it slowly, but have your playful attitude overlap their interests enough that they want to engage and play with you rather than just observing you trying.
So if you did know their definition and you're able to, represent that to your child, then that might encourage your child to be more playful?
And maybe expand their definition of play some, too.
Well, I think, though, ultimately, like when it comes to autism particularly, I think the person needs to feel safe. And so I kind of like the approach of, you know, if a parent doesn't know what their child finds playful, well, do some investigation, you know, either talk to them about it or try some things or observe them and get involved and sort of feel it out, like kind of test it out a little bit. But, you know, sometimes it's hard because, you know, someone on the spectrum may not be offering up a lot of information about their feelings or their likes or, you know, what they want to be doing for play. And that often gets misinterpreted as they don't want to, when it just takes a little bit more of a deeper awareness and effort and time, you know. So I encourage everybody to take the time and put it in their schedule every week, you know, how it's appropriate to them to make the effort to sort of get to know, you know, one another in the family and learn about what do you consider play? What do you consider play? We started that show. I mean, I was asking you because I really didn't know.
Yeah.
And I didn't know just because I never really thought to, like, let's discuss it. Let's figure each other out. You know, I think that's very good for families to do.
Well, for a lot of us, play is what happens when we stop keeping ourselves from playing. So,
right. Well, yeah.
You know, it's what happens when we let down those walls that say, don't play right now. This is serious time. So for a lot of us, play isn't really so much of a conscious thing. And so playing with someone who has a different enough view of play does have to become a conscious thing.
So the question that we can leave everyone with, does the inherent definition to parents of play something that may not be in the definition of being a parent?
Hmm.
I mean, I've seen parents be so serious. They, you say, well, what's it like to be a parent? And maybe it's structure and...
Oh,
and
yeah, everybody's going to have their own personal
feelings
about it.
So maybe a little more playful parents might make the world a better place.
Well, yeah, but it takes, I mean, everybody's at their own comfort level. And the other last thing, I guess real quick, I'll just mention is, you know, sometimes what is fun for the child, again, of any age, isn't fun for the parent. And that creates an obstacle because the parent might be saying, well, this isn't really fun for me. Should I still do it? Should I, you know, things like that. And I think, again, it's mindset on your goal as, yeah, as yourself as a parent. What kind of parent do you want to be? You know, what is your purpose for wanting to go play? Oh, I'm doing it because someone told me to, or I'm doing it because I want to build a relationship, you know, things like that. So there's a lot to it. But important thing is stop, pause, be in the moment, and
play.
And play.
All right. Or reverse or playback. Okay, that's another thing, a play on words. There it is. That's our song. Well, not really, but I love that song. Frank Sinatra and his daughter did that, too, by the way, and Johnny Cash and June Carter. Anyway, this is Understanding Autism. How do they get in touch with you guys?
Well, you can contact us on our Facebook page. I can never say it right.
Facebook.com/Understanding Autism Radio.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Kim. Thank you, Paul. You have a good trip back to Houston. We'll see you next week.
Next month.
I'll see him in two weeks.
I was thinking of Jackson. All right, have a good night, and go Coyotes. Chopping.com Arena, 7 o'clock.